Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Super Bowl Extravaganza Show. Drinking the hard AF seltzers that just came in. My God, man. Whew, cheers. Dink. Cheers. We got a special guest today. The center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ryan Jensen, is here. Ryan, guy, you've been on the show before. You were a blast last time. No pressure. Don't fuck this up today.
I'll try not to fuck it up, you know. It's kind of what I do, though.
Wait, are you wearing a... Is that a Black Rifle t-shirt?
Is it a Black Rifle shirt or is it Guns N' Roses shirt? What do you got on?
No, it's Black Rifle.
Oh, it's Black Rifle. Look at you.
He came prepared. Yeah.
How
did I see like a millimeter of it and know what it was?
Came prepared.
That's amazing. Black Rifle is actually going
pretty,
in the...
Pretty obvious shirt, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're going on the New York Stock Exchange tomorrow. We'll be live doing the opening bell with them tomorrow. That's a big boy move. We appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome to see, you know. Yeah. Seeing where the companies came past, you know, 8 years, 9 years.
It's not even that. Shit, man. I know we started promoting it on the show, and yes, seven
it
years ago.
Officially started September 2015, although there was a year before that, so about eight.
Yeah. Crazy, man. Yep. Crazy. And with you in particular, Ryan, you've had a crazy season as well. A lot of off-season controversy here. Your quarterback may or may not have retired. Did you hear it from Adam Schefter first, or did you hear it from Tom Brady?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I was actually flying back from Tampa, and I, you know, landed landed in Colorado, and all of a sudden my phone's just blowing up that Tom retired. That was on that Monday when or whatever day it was when Adam Schefter tweeted it out prematurely. And everybody's like, "Did he actually retire?" I'm like, "I have no idea. You think he's going to call me first and let me know that he retired?" But it is after 22 years. You know, it's not really that big of a shock that he would retire. Granted, you know, he was still balling out and, you know, a top five quarterback still at 44, 45, however fucking old he is now. But yeah, it was pretty crazy just to see, you know, Twitter blow up with that and Instagram and all that. And then he comes out and says, "Well, what the fuck are you talking about? I ain't retiring yet."
Yeah.
And then obviously 2 days later, he announces on Twitter.
Yeah, the shitty part for me was you have the greatest quarterback of all time, and that pains me to say because I'm a Falcons fan, but I can admit it. I do have some, some bias towards him. That still was like the most miserable experience of my life being at that game. Whatever, but I can acknowledge he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I wish that he would have been able to announce it on his own rather than some bullshit reporter from ESPN. Was that how you felt as well?
Yeah, and just knowing Tom, I know he was pissed off about that. It's that whole thing about got to be first, don't always got to be right type thing that comes with, you know, sports media and really just media in general. But how you're gonna leak, you know, Tom Brady's retiring just for some clicks and views? Like, let the man retire on his own. I'm sure he would have, you know, had something really cool video or something, because that's what he does. Yeah. You know, he records these awesome videos, and I'm sure that's something that was going to happen, but obviously by that getting leaked early, he probably didn't have enough time to work on that.
He does do fun stuff. Like the picture he posted with his final retirement announcement was a picture of him after beating the Patriots in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't say that, but that was clearly the picture.
I
enjoy the way he trolls. It's very funny. But yeah, if you're in the media and you've got you're Adam Schefter and somebody leaks that to you, this is what you do, just for anybody that ever wants to be in the media. You go to Tom and say, "Hey, I know this is going to happen. Give me an exclusive when you decide to announce, and I'll hold that information until then."
Yeah.
That solves everything. You're still first, and you still respect the man's ability, the best quarterback in the history of the NFL's ability to fucking go out on his own goddamn terms.
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to get likes on Instagram or fucking Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, it seems insane to me, and again, because he does post great content, he posts great videos. I'm sure he would have done something amazing, and then for this dude to come in and just be like, "Nope, sorry, I'm going to take that away from you." And the other part too was the bonus was on the line, and the bonus didn't kick in until what, February 5th, I think.
Fourth,
yeah. And it was another $10 million.
15.
Jesus Christ, was it $15 million?
Yep.
So to come out and do that for, you know, somebody's livelihood, especially if this is their last contract. I mean, you know what it's like being in the NFL. You try to make as much money as you possibly can, and then for some little dork to fuck it all up like that potentially is insane to me.
Yeah, no, it's messed up. You know, granted, he's made a ton of money in his career, and he's got all this off-field stuff. And you know, I don't care how rich you are, $15 million is $15 million. But it's just kind of, it's bullshit. Like, now you're messing with people's money and their reputation, and honestly, just the ability to go out on his own terms. It was just crazy that when I saw that, you know, Adam had tweeted that, and you know, immediately I went to Tom's, you know, Instagram and Twitter and saw nothing. I was like, I don't know if this is all that true, but it's messed up, man.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. But we can scrap all that. You had an unbelievable season. I feel like you're the most famous center in the NFL. I don't know if it's intentional. You've grown your hair out and you've stopped giving a fuck, including like after the play is dead and everything else. Like, I always see you tearing down the field. Do other people recognize you and shit more than they have before after playing with Tom Brady?
Yeah, I think that happened a little bit more, last year. Having Tom Brady as a quarterback, you know, it kind of gives everybody on the team a little bit more attention. I think, you know, around town, even, just in Tampa, it's a pretty small, big town. And after Tom came here, obviously, you know, a lot more people started paying attention to football in Tampa. And yeah, I'd say, especially after Rick Ross last year in the playoffs put me on his Instagram story and, you know, started hyping me up, a lot more people started to recognize me. But it's been a crazy 2 years playing for him.
I bet. And where do you go from here now? How long do you have left on your deal? And then, you know, who do you bring in as quarterback to replace Tom Brady?
Yeah, so I'm actually going into free agency this year. With Tom retiring and stuff like that, we'll see what happens on staying in Tampa or whatnot. Would love to stay in Tampa if everything works out right. But it's one of those crazy things. You know, a lot of people have talked about, you know, potentially Aaron Rodgers and, you know, a bunch of these other bigger name quarterbacks potentially getting traded to Tampa. So I'll be interested to see if they bring somebody in, if they draft a kid, if they give Kyle Trask a opportunity to step in and take the reins. It's kind of a crazy time down there, trying to figure out what the next move is for him.
Yeah, because, you know, a guy like you, like last time we were together was for the Travis Pastrana thing in person. I know you've done the show since, but we did that show for the History Channel there, and we were raging together. And I know, you know, money is obviously a huge concern because you were a D2 guy. And now that you've had, you know, a huge contract that is over, you're also a Super Bowl champion. What means more to you now, another huge contract or playing with somebody who could potentially get you another Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between that. I'll be 31 this year. So, you know, making sure I get as much money as possible is big, but also, you know, being able to win, this point in my career, I've made a lot of money and everything like that, but going and selling your soul for a ton of money and winning three games, I'm not really all that interested in doing that. But for me, it's just of course you want to win, you want to make all the money you can, but for me, it's that fine line of playing for a contender, but also making the money that I feel that I would deserve.
So the Texans are out is what you're saying. The Texans and the Jets are definitely out.
You never know, but you know.
No, we know. We know with the Texans and the Jets, they're out. Those guys are definitely out.
Whoa, put some respect on Lovie Smith. Let's go.
Oh boy, that's a stopgap.
Let's be real.
Especially with that beard.
The answer, well, he looks way better with the beard, though. Like, he looks a lot more authoritative. Yeah, for sure. The answer here is obvious, and that is to go be the center for the guy that's going to be playing this Sunday, right? They desperately need some help on the offensive line. And you know what? Your buddy Gronk is probably going to go over there, too. So you guys can just fucking hold hands and skip all the way to fucking Cincinnati.
Yeah! Although,
Cincinnati sucks, so I mean, like the city.
As a city.
The team is fucking great. The city is Skyline Chili and fucking Hillbillies and shit.
Team is fun. I'm sure, like Dan alluded to, you heard what Gronk said this morning. You wouldn't mind catching balls up for Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
They need offensive line. You would be a great center for Joe Burrow. Is that something that you would consider?
I mean, they're a team on the rise with a young, great quarterback. So, you know, there's always the potential for that. And, you know, if they wanted me, you know, it could be an option again. You know, I'd prefer to stay in Tampa, but, you know, things happen. And if that's not availability, you know, I'm really open to kind of go anywhere.
Tampa, you got a good staff down there too.
Arians is great. All those guys are great. I wouldn't recommend you going to the Falcons, even though that's my team. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I know Matt Ryan's coming back. And it's like, dude, if we're not going to win a title, let's do something.
Put him somewhere where he can win before he dies.
He needs to get Stafforded real quick.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Cleveland. Send him to Cleveland.
Anywhere. Yeah. Just whatever you do, don't join the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. Because
they can't get it together, man. I don't know what the fuck's going on out there. But
all they're looking for is famous people, Ryan. You could be on that
team. You know Westbrook's going to make $45 million next year?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at. That's where we're at with Russell
basketball
Westbrook.
Basketball money is where it's really at.
Yeah, I know. That's what you should do, man. Just go start playing basketball. Nobody will see it coming. Just show up one day and in all the gear and don't say a word to anybody.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll just write me a check.
Yeah, why not? Just go up to Orlando. They need some fucking big guys.
Exactly, yeah. Does your wife have any input on this decision of like, hey, before we look at where we're going, can I tell you the cities that I would love to live in? Because that's what I imagine behind the scenes.
Yeah, is there a football team in Hawaii?
That's the conversation we have with our significant others of like, hey, I think we're going to Austin. Do you like Austin? Is that cool?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's obviously, you know, with my kids and my wife and everything like that, it's a big family decision. And, you know, there's a lot of input and a lot of discussion about that. So, you know, we've had kind of some of those conversations, started having those conversations, but and in game, you know, it kind of is what it is, and we'll put ourselves in the best situation possible.
Yeah. By any chance, did you watch that 30 for 30 on the Tuck Rule the other night with Brady in it?
I've seen some highlights of it. I was actually just watching, you know, with him and Charles there for a second. I didn't really catch the whole thing. I just got little snippets of it, but it's something that I think I need to go watch because it looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me about it was we talked about it briefly on the show the other day. Was you don't really see Brady do long form interviews like that. He sat down with Charles Woodson, who was a teammate of his at Michigan, and then obviously that was the person who tackled him for the Tuck Rule itself. So they were able to go back and forth. I was unaware how gangster Tom Brady is behind the scenes until you actually see him in interviews. Because at the end of it, not only was he like, look, the ruling was correct, and I don't really give a shit that I took a Super Bowl away from you and everything that you went through, but then I'm going to beat you in pool at my own house. And he rocked Charles Woodson at the end of this documentary, and he took off his Super Bowl ring before even hitting the first shot. I mean, it was fucking awesome. Is he like that in real life?
Oh yeah, man. He's competitive with when it comes to everything, man. It's crazy. And he don't care who you are, what. He's trying to beat your ass at anything that he does, whether it's, you know, he always brags about being able to chug the world's fastest beer chugger. And, you know, everything that is competitive, he'll talk shit. And most of the time he actually can back it up, which is pretty incredible.
Wait, is he
even at chugging beers?
He's better at chugging beers than the entire offensive line and Rob Gronkowski. I find that hard to believe.
I've seen you put down 12 in like record time.
Yeah, I mean, I never got a chance to race him. I think I'd kick his ass. But I mean, I've seen
we're bringing Brady out of retirement for a fucking to shotgun beers.
Yeah,
you know, he probably picks his battles.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
He's didn't get this far from being stupid.
Smart like that.
Yeah.
He probably is like that. He's probably picking his battles. I would. Like, there's a guy that works with us, Joel. He's a cornhole guy, has a jersey. He's been in, like, some professional tournaments and everything. I've never lost, and I beat him. And the first thing I did was made him sit by the cornhole board, take a picture of it, and then send it to his dad.
He said he threw the game.
No, he did not throw the
he
game.
He said he felt bad for he you. Got he said he was up 17-0 and he threw the game.
Oh, he got rocked by me. It was great. And then he was like, I want to play again. But I'm selective like Tom Brady. I said, no, I want you to think about this loss for 6 months and then I'll play you again.
Yeah, you and Tom Brady basically the same guy.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Went to school at the same time. Everything else, well, you know.
That's about it.
Yeah. No, we're pretty even. No. Pretty even Stevens on that. But you don't know who somebody's going to be. Like, dude, even in college, it wasn't like he was that dominant. He just turned it on in the NFL. Well, it's pretty crazy.
College is very rarely a predictor of success in the NFL for a quarterback. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, how often does that happen? Usually only from smaller schools or schools that have good run programs and a game manager quarterback. That's the only time you ever really see it.
But now we have the case of Joe Burrow. Have you played against Burrow?
I don't think I have. I think we played Cincinnati last year, but that was after he got hurt. But the kid's unreal. He's the real deal. Just from the, you know, his swagger to his performance and, you know, it's crazy what he's done in the playoffs, you know, especially the Tennessee game, you know, got sacked 9 times and they still somehow won the game. And, you know, that's kind of been the story throughout the playoffs is, you know, sacks and pressures have been crazy, but he just kind of does his thing and gets out of shitty spots and makes plays. It's crazy. So, you know, I think he's on that level, that trajectory of kind of, you know, the Patrick Mahomes, you know, Josh Allen type, where, you know, he's going to be a top quarterback for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dan and I were at that game. We were sitting right behind the Tennessee bench and it just seemed like they had no answers and they were listless. I know Tannehill threw for 3 interceptions in that game. Derrick Henry didn't really look like himself, but it felt like Cincinnati was just always going to win that game for some reason.
Well, I mean, I feel like that when Burrow's on the field, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's a winner and I don't know if you can teach that. You know, I mean, you can learn it, but I don't know if you can teach it. You know what I mean? He just seems like one of those guys that's comfortable in being ahead or being down. He feels confident that he's going to win, and he doesn't take the first game into the second game or the second into the third. Like, it's a new game every time for him, and he's trying to win that one game. Yeah. That he seems super focused on what he's doing, more so than you would expect out of a 23-year-old fucking quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially one that got fucking shithoused last year because his offensive line was terrible.
His leg almost blew up out of his body. Like, he might have, he was real close to having like a Lieutenant Dan leg.
Yeah.
because his line was that terrible.
Wasn't quite Mackenzie Milton.
No. But,
or even Alex Smith. It wasn't that bad either.
RIP Mackenzie Milton. You know,
he's alive.
No, he's still very much alive.
But his career's dead. Well, his career's dead. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's alive.
You live until the last person forgets your name, and really, who knows who he is anymore?
That's true.
He's dead.
He's dead. He's
Del Cole will never forget.
I'll never forget.
So until Dan dies,
and I will never forget that UCF made Joe Burrow.
You think so?
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, with that hit, we went up 14-3 on the pick six. We blasted Joe Burrow on the block, and he's been the best quarterback ever since. He was very mediocre until that point.
He was
for LSU.
But then he picked it up. Ryan, where did you go to school? It was a small school in what, Colorado?
Yeah, I went to CSU Pueblo, a small Division II school in Southern Colorado. Like, I don't know, 6,000 kids. Maybe, I don't even know if it's that big. It's pretty small. It's a pretty small school.
Did they name the stadium after you? Because you're like the only famous alumni from there.
No, they named the locker room after me. You know, I don't know if that was out of honor because I gave him $40,000, but you know, one of those deals. It's still a pretty cool honor to have the locker room named after me.
Yeah, in Hollywood, you can get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I think for $45,000.
That's it.
Yeah,
let's get one and just put butthole.
Well, you still got to go through the board, but they want the money first, and it's like, all right, cool, man, and then you go through the board, so you're only $5,000 off from getting a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Damn, I might need to hit that up real quick.
Probably wouldn't wear that Black Rifle t-shirt when you go to the board, though.
Yeah, definitely not in LA.
I don't think they're fans of us.
No, definitely not in LA.
He's not even the only Colorado Pueblo person we've interviewed on this show.
Really? Who else we got?
Well, not on sports, but Dana Perino.
Oh shit. Wow. White House press secretary Dana Perino is on the show.
I didn't know she went there. That's weird. She is more important, Ryan.
She's probably more important.
I would say so.
You've made a lot more money than her, though, I can tell you that. Oh. So that's true.
Well, above board.
Exactly. The White House press secretary, the salary is not great for that job.
But the book deal is real nice.
Yeah.
Especially when you get to write about George W. Bush.
Is that what she did?
Yeah. She was his press secretary for like 2 years.
Yeah. But I didn't know how deep she went.
What the fuck else is she going to write about?
You never know.
About collating papers.
She's a hot
shit?
Blonde woman. Like, dude, there's plenty to do there. There's absolutely plenty to do there. Let's get to the Super Bowl, right, guy? Rams versus Bengals. Right now, the spread is 4.5. I've already put the house on this. So this is what I love to ask NFL players who are still playing. Do you guys pay attention to the spread? Because gambling has become so prevalent in the NFL, and the NFL has a deal with, who is it, Caesars? They signed a 3-year deal with Caesars, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's the commercials you see nonstop.
Yeah, so a lot of current NFL players that we interview have no idea what the spreads are. Is it starting to creep into the locker room now more and more with everybody gambling on it?
No, I don't think so. Never really hear anything about it. We don't really pay attention to it all that much. To us, we don't really give a shit if, you know, we're 20-point favorites or we're 20-point losers. You know, it's just one of those deals. We're just trying to win the game.
I could see if it's something super egregious, you might use it as billboard material. Like Michael Jordan probably followed the lines to see if anybody was disrespecting him just so he could use it to kick the shit
out
of him.
I mean, he's a degenerate gambler also.
That too, yeah, for sure, for sure. But I doubt he bet against himself ever.
No,
his entire life.
Yeah. So you guys don't know, because the stats came out today, 31.5 million Americans thus far have bet on the Super Bowl. And we're not even close to Sunday yet.
By the way, that's
1/10.
That's 40% of the total viewership that a Super Bowl normally gets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very close.
That's also, I assume, only including legal bets.
Oh, yeah. Because you take a guy like Delco Dan here. I don't know if you can see him with the blue shirt on. There it is. Mm-hmm. This guy, real dirtbag.
I support local. Support your local bookie.
Sorry, that's 30%, not 40%. But yeah, you should support local businesses.
As an entrepreneur.
Strip clubs.
It's honestly one of the longest relationships I've ever had. Is with a man whose name I don't even actually know.
It's not even his real name.
It's not even his real name.
I told you mine in Los Angeles. His name was Casual T.
That's stupid.
It's a double entendre. Yeah. It was a casual t-shirt. And it was also a casualty because he would kill you.
Come up with a good spy name. Like the Raven or something like that. Like refer to yourself as a mononym, like Sting.
Yeah.
Also,
like a one word.
Where I'm from is legitimately, I think it's most bookies per square mile.
No shit.
In Delco, yeah.
Well, what else are you going to do in Delco? Like work at the paper mill or fucking run from the police?
Right.
It's not a whole lot.
It's like in a black neighborhood, the only way to get out is football, but none of them can do even that. So the only way to get out is to just
gamble on football.
Either be a bookie or be an NBA referee who's involved with the mafia, like Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy, Jesus, what an
idiot. Went to Cardinal O'Hare.
Well, is he a Delco guy?
Yeah, he went to Cardinal O'Hare.
So you guys don't pay attention to the fucking Lions or anything, but you've got an opinion on who you think is going to win this game, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody does. It's crazy. You know, at the beginning of the year, obviously nobody thought, you know, Cincinnati even had a chance to make the playoffs, let alone make the Super Bowl. So seeing what they've done and how hot they've been the last half of the season is crazy. You know, they got all that momentum going. But on the other hand, you got, you know, the Rams, who their defense is one of the best defenses in the league. You know, their pass rushers are, you know, the best in the, you know, the best in the business. You got Von Miller, you got Aaron Donald, you got Leonard Floyd, who's coming on.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you look at their defensive front and what they have and what their ability to, you know, pass, you know, rush a passer is crazy. I actually think it's going to be a little bit of a defensive struggle, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. Unless, you know, the Rams really take the top off the defense with Cincinnati. Honestly, I haven't even watched any really Cincinnati games this year. I caught a couple of the playoff games, obviously, but I've never actually really sat down and watched them. So I'm kind of just throwing darts at the board my thought on it. But with Joe Burrow, the things he's done throughout the playoffs with not a lot of help, up front and just out there playing street ball, I'll be interested to see if the Rams can slow him down.
Let me ask you this. Since you mentioned that street ball thing, last playoffs, that was kind of the story for Kansas City, right? Like they would have won. I'm sorry, the two playoffs ago. They would have won had their line not been fucked up, right?
Potentially.
I mean, that was
last year.
That was
last year, yeah. But
yeah, yeah. That was the general theme around the league, right?
I don't think you want to say that to Ryan.
No, that's fine. I would love Ryan's opinion on it, actually.
I'm serious about this. Yeah. So, and then the Chiefs bolstered their line, and then it looked like they were all discombobulated all season. So I want your opinion as one of the top centers in the NFL. Is it difficult to transition from an offensive line unit where you're running for your life and struggling all the time and then you got Happy Feet's McGee back here, and look, that's what makes him great. Yeah. But does that match with a static line that just tries to stay in the box all the time, or do you have to work and learn to move the pocket around for him? You know what I mean? Because it looked like he, especially in that last game, he's like going one direction and then turning around the other way and then going forward a little bit and then coming back and like this. Like, that's not what the pocket is meant for.
Right.
And it seemed like he played a little bit better when he was less protected. And I wonder if that's going to be a thing with Burrow if he gets it. That's why I wanted to ask you what your thoughts about that were as a, you know, you're a professional at this.
Yeah, and that was the thing, by the way, to Dan's point. Like, after that game was over, everybody was like, oh, if the Chiefs had a better offensive line. Was that it? Because to me, you guys handled them pretty fucking easily. And it looked like, yes, they had some problems on the offensive line. But was it more than that? You know the game plan going in. You're the only guy who knows that answer.
Yeah, I think, you know, going to, you know, with Joe and Patrick, you know, not having a, you know, feel like they have to run for their lives all the time. You know, some guys, they throw the better, they make plays on the move. But, you know, for example, for us, the last 2 years as an offensive line, knowing, you know, Tom Brady was going to, you know, plant his back foot at 7.5 yards every time, it lets us, you know, it allows you to attack a little bit more and be a little bit more confident in pass protection. And when you have guys, you know, with like Pat and Joe who are running around a lot, is it, you know, it's that bears the question. Are they scrambling around because they're more comfortable on the move, or are they nervous in the pocket because, you know, guys are getting pushed in their face, they're not, you know, being well protected or whatever. So I think it's a combination of both. Is you want, as an offensive lineman, you want your guy to stay in the pocket. That way, you know where he's at and, you know, can keep him clean. You know, if they're bailing out of the pocket after a single hitch or when their back foot hits the ground, you know, especially if you got good protection where, you know, you see a lot of times, you know, quarterbacks who aren't comfortable, they set, you know, they get back to their drop and the pocket could be perfect and they're still taking off. You know, a lot of that comes from, you know, experience and just being comfortable in the pocket. But I mean, it's hard to complain as an offensive lineman when a guy's getting out of the pocket and doing what they do. So it's kind of a catch 22. It's difficult as an offensive lineman not knowing where the hell your quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how do you broach that conversation?
A lot of times that causes,
like, with a guy with two, like you, the examples you gave, Joe and fucking Mahomes, they're having a lot of success doing that. So it's not like you can go like, hey, dude, you need to calm down throwing all these touchdowns. You're starting to piss people off, okay? Yeah. But still, you don't want your guy getting knocked out in week 8 either, like Joe Burrow did last year. And you don't want to lose a game in the playoffs because this homeboy's running around for, you know, all over the place. So, you know, I don't know how you handle that.
It strikes me a bit like a Vlad Guerrero situation. I'm not going to get deep into a baseball analogy, but I'm just saying, like, you can only be a free fucking swinger for so long unless you're a freak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you got to get the mechanics back in order.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and look, nobody knows the Rams defense better than you. You just played them a couple weeks ago. How nasty is that defense?
It's crazy. They play a really fast style of defense. You know, their front's not very big. They have a couple of big guys, but you know, you got Aaron who's, you know, 6 foot maybe, you know, 280 pounds, and their edge guys aren't all that big. You know, you got Vaughn who's maybe 255, you know, Floyd who's maybe 255. They're a fast front. And they play fast and they rely on those front four guys to, you know, really the front, you know, six, the way they play their defense a lot. You know, a lot of times they get a lot of 6-man boxes and they trust them to stop the run. That way they can play coverage in the back end. And, you know, obviously with that, if they can stop the run, now they're doing what they need to do and rushing the passer. And that's what they're best at. So that whole team relies around that front seven and, you know, front six and front seven of that defense. You know, that front, they take the team where it needs to go because how dominant they can be at times. So for me, their defense is a fast defense, and they play hard and they play pretty physical for being a smaller group.
Okay. With that being said, who wins this game then?
It's tough. You know, I want to see Cincinnati win it, I think. Just because it's kind of that Cinderella story coming from, you know, nobody believed they would even be in the playoffs. It, you know, a lot of people didn't even think they were going to win like 6 or 7 games to doing that, you know, and coming and making the Super Bowl. But then, you know, you got, you know, for the Rams, Eric Weddle, who, you know, came out of retirement after 2 years, who I played with in Baltimore for a couple of years, great guy, long ass career, and it doesn't have a ring. So, you know, from like a personal stat, it's like, okay, I really kind of want the Rams to win just because of Eric and getting him a ring and really solidifying his career. But at the same time, you have like the Cinderella story with the Bengals. So I think it's going to come down, I think, as all the playoff games have this year, I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last. And honestly, I want to see the Bengals win. I think they have a legit shot as long as Joe can survive the pass rush. Mm.
It's going to be tough. I mean, the Rams have elite players at all three levels of their defense. This might be the first time that's happened in quite a while.
I think literal Hall of Famers at all three levels.
For sure. Yeah. Like Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey, and Aaron Donald are all Hall of Famers for sure. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, that might be the first time that's ever happened. Maybe not. I don't know. I guess I don't pay enough attention to all three levels like that, but that's impressive. They have a good defensive scheme. You're probably right. The over-under is 48.5.
Yep.
I think that's high.
I did, yeah, too. I teased it down, and every year, Ryan, on the show, we take our winnings from the season and then blow it, usually on the Super Bowl. So I've got $5,000 for real. It's Bengals are getting 4.5 points. I put $5,000 on the Bengals with the points. I'm with you. I think this is a close game. I don't necessarily know that Cincinnati is going to win. However, I think it's going to come down to like you said, whoever has the ball last, and I think it'll be a field goal. Therefore, with the 4.5 points, I feel great. I teased this over down to 41.5, and I couldn't not take the over in that.
I still wouldn't take that over because I could see this being a fucking 17-19 game.
Oof. God, that hurts to hear. Because you and I were at a 13-3 game that Tom Brady was the quarterback of.
It was rough.
Usually we go to the Super Bowl every year. It's in L.A. this year, and I'm not wearing a fucking mask, Ryan. Not going to do it. Refuse to. And don't want to. So we're not going this year. We have our seltzer launch that day.
But, I was going to go spit in Eric Garcetti's mouth.
Yeah, yeah, because he doesn't inhale.
He doesn't inhale, so it's fine.
He doesn't inhale, so he wouldn't inhale the spits. But with that, I just can't. I'm not a guy who bets unders a lot. Maybe I should have teased it up. But fuck, man.
Yeah, but then you're winning the entire game until you're not.
I know. Yeah. I know. And that hurts my soul.
I would have teased it up. It's a 6-point teaser. You could have teased it up to 54.5. There's no way it's going that
high. I could have teased it to 55.5.
Yeah, no way. No, 54.
Yeah.
It's 48.5. Right?
I took a 7-point teaser in this. Yeah,
it's no way it's going that high. It's this is not going to be a fucking 28-27 game.
It's so tough to call. What do you think, Delco?
I think I had to go with the Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
OJ?
34-31 Bengals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the, 30 called
the Simpsons
it.
Simpsons episode was against Miami. It wasn't L.A.
I don't care.
I don't either.
That is a Photoshop.
I saw a Photoshop. I don't care.
I saw a Photoshop. And I'm a, yeah, same here. Yeah.
The misinformation.
Why don't you just let people
okay
live their fucking lives, Nick, piece of shit? Nick.
Trying to believe in magic over here.
Jesus God damn Christ, it. What a fucking dude. Asshole, man.
What's next? Pamela Anderson has fake tits?
Fucking fact checker over here. What
Come
are you, Snopes?
On, dude. Come on. Something. You're better than
for
that.
Snopes.
This is what happens when you let hockey fans have a microphone.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Hot Bob, who do you got in this game?
I think we're all really overthinking it. Like, it's line play. It's line play.
Yeah, I know.
The Rams have maybe the best pass rushers in the fucking league, and Joe Burrow's been getting abused for 2 years. Like, what happened last year? Why did the Bucks roll the Chiefs last year?
He got sacked 9 times in the game and still won.
Against the Titans.
Granted, the Titans are not the Rams on offense, right?
Yeah.
But they're not that far apart.
Like, no,
Tannehill's
are.
Not terrible.
They are. Tannehill sucks ass.
He's not great.
Tannehill is
Although,
fucking
garbage. Speaking of that, the Titans announced today that they're not going after Aaron Rodgers. So they're sticking with Tannehill for the long haul.
That's bananas. Yeah. That's fucking insane.
Any chance Aaron Rodgers comes to Tampa Bay? Go.
Dude, Kyle Trask.
No idea. Yeah.
None. Yeah. It's one of those things where those guys at that level, which is weird to say, they make their own decisions. They don't fucking consult anybody.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's on Jeopardy next year, not even playing football, to be honest.
He's better than Blossom, who's hosting it right now. I watched it last night.
She's insufferable, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting booed right now in Arizona.
Oh, is he? Is he playing the waste management?
A little pro-am today.
Yeah. Why would he get booed in Arizona?
I think that's more because of his dope Hail Mary a couple of years ago.
That might be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
He's ruined some lives.
He has. Yeah. But, dude, I actually don't even think this game is close.
Really?
I think the Rams fucking roll.
Oh, yeah, I want to believe in magic, though. And
same here.
You know, I'll be rooting for the Bengals. Fuck Stan Kroenke. Fuck the Rams.
Whoa, easy.
But the Rams are going to win.
And, easy. I mean, we can pretty much guarantee that because me and Rob's preseason Super Bowl pick was the Rams, and I'm already faded myself.
Yeah.
So, like, national championship, I picked Georgia preseason. I faded myself. I went with Alabama.
Yep.
Obviously, that didn't work out. Doing the exact same thing, going with the Bengals right now. So, yeah, guarantee the Rams win.
D'Anthony Holloway, who do you got?
One of our fans, Ryan, is saying that you're mentoring his cousin Robert Hainsey right now, or were, rather. Does that name sound familiar? I think he's an offensive tackle on your practice squad or something.
He was the backup center this year.
Oh, he's the backup center.
No, that listener is dyslexic. He's tormenting him.
Yeah. It's gotta suck. It's like being being the backup first baseman, Lou Gehrig or some shit.
Yeah.
Get off the fucking field. Now he's that guy probably who replaced Lou Gehrig? Have we investigated this guy? Lou Gehrig Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yeah, Lou Gehrig?
He just snuck into Gehrig's hotel room at night and hit him in the head a couple times.
What's his name? Robert Hainsey?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Hainsey's sitting at home going, man, I hope Ryan goes to the Jets.
Yeah.
I hope the Jets back up the truck.
He's sending out texts like fucking Bill or Belichick.
Dude.
Well, let's not get into that.
Because your wife wants to shop in New York. She'll convince you to go there. Like, that's how it always works out. They'll back up the truck and then there you'll be. And you'll be like, God damn it. God, I wish I would have had Tom's hands on my nutsack. And not Zach Wilson.
Buffalo's pretty nice.
Welcome to Detroit.
Anyways,
who do you got?
I agree with Rob that the Rams are probably going to win this by more than 4 points.
God damn it.
Just because. But look, on game day, I'll be rooting for the Bengals as well. And if it's a close game into the fourth quarter, like if it's within one score going into the fourth quarter, I think the Bengals probably win. To be honest, because Joe Burrow's got the fucking whatever juice it is.
Yeah.
Mamba, mm-hmm. Jordan bullshit. He's clearly got it. He had it in college 2 years ago and he's got it this year. So,
and that line right there tells you 4.5. That tells you Rams like all day.
Cause technically
public money's going to be on the Bengals.
So. Oh yeah. 100%.
It feels like type of thing. I bet you going into the fourth quarter, what happens is everyone's going to be like, it's going to be just close enough. It's going to be like, the Bengals are going to be down like 15, right? And it's like, I don't know, man, Burrow could pull it off like one quarter. And then it's going to be a Jalen Ramsey interception with like 7 minutes left.
Well, that's a good conversation now that we've got everybody's picks. MVP is one of the biggest prop bets.
Yes.
Right now, Stafford is plus 130, Burrow is plus 215, so 2-1. Aaron Donald is 4-1. That's low as fuck.
4-1?
4-1.
But he's just a defensive guy.
No, that tells you that Vegas thinks it's probably going to be a blowout because the blowouts are usually defensive MVPs.
Yeah, so it's Aaron Donald at 4-1, Cooper Kupp at 6, and then it goes off the rails. Like Jamar Chase is 14, OBJ is 18, Von Miller is the next guy that shows up at 2,800.
Yeah, who do you think would be the MVP, Ryan? In a game like this, is it a quarterback? Is it a defensive guy? And again, we have the advantage of asking you this question because you just went against this defense. To me, the oddest thing to me watching that game and like, dude, I hated to see you guys lose because looking at it now, the way it synced up, I think you guys would have beaten the 49ers. And then I think you probably would have beaten the Bengals. And this would have been an easy call for the Super Bowl. Do you look at it the same way?
I mean, obviously, you know, you want to win, and you know, I think if we would have beat the the Rams, I think we'd be playing this Sunday. But yeah, I think it's tough. Kind of going back to the MVP thing, I think it all depends on the type of game. If it's a blowout, it's going to be an offensive player. If it's a close game, I think it's a defensive player, because usually with close games, you have guys making crazy plays on defense. The offensive playmakers aren't doing what they normally do because defensive players are making a huge impact. So, I think it really could go either way. It all depends on the game. I think if it's a blowout, it's like, if the Rams win, what did Stafford do? What did Cooper Kupp do? you know, other way with the Bengals. What did Joe do? What did Jamar do? So it could, I think, in my opinion, it goes based on the type of game it is. If it's a close game, I would think a defensive player would win it. And if it's a blowout, an offensive player is going to
get it. Ryan, you've been on the show before. You know we got some sponsors that pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. It's the Super Bowl show, damn it. We got DraftKings. The moment we've been waiting for since September is finally here. In honor of the big game, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, is giving new customers 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 and get $280 and free bets if your team wins. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in New York, meaning you can bet from almost a third of the country. Now, if Sportsbook isn't in your state yet, play DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest for Super Bowl 56. New customers can get a free shot at $1 million and their top prize with their first deposit. That's right. First deposit, you can play for $1 million. Congratulations. That's open to everybody. I have already deposited, so I don't get to play for the $1 million, but you do. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code BROS to get 56-1 odds on either team. Just bet $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code BROS at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56. That's 21 and up. Minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Next up, we got the Drinkin' Bros store. That's right. It's stocked. Go to drinkinbros.com/store. We got the Bro Box in there. Okay. $39.99, you get an exclusive t-shirt that is not on our websites, that is coming to you once a month. You also get a t-shirt for maybe Hard AF or one of the other shows, some glassware, some drinkware. We got a ton of stuff in the store right now. And the beauty of it is this one goes all the way to us, brother. There's no cuts, okay? Support the show. Buy some merch. Buy some gear. We got the new FlexFit hats in there with the snapback on them. Snapback's important because even if you have a huge head like myself, it still makes it look to other people like, all right, that guy's got a normal size head just like the rest of us. It's on three snaps. Congratulations. We've got everything in the store there. We've got American Party stuff, Drinkin' Bros stuff, Ross Patterson Revolution merch in there. Go to drinkinbros.com/store now and support the show. We would really appreciate it. Thanks, Rye.
I think I'm going to push Jalen Ramsey's 45-1. I think I'm going to put $100 on that because I could. The standard for a defensive player is two or more sacks or two or more interceptions, and if a score happens, even if the quarterback has a good game, there's a decent chance that the defensive guy wins. I think Jalen, especially if the Bengals are down late, there's a decent chance Jalen Ramsey picks 6-1. And if he does anything else in that game, I think he's got a better shot than Von Miller.
Wasn't Malcolm Butler the MVP when he picked off Russell Wilson?
No, that was still Brady. The last was defensive really MVP Brady? Was when
Von
the,
Miller.
When the last, yes, Von Miller and then
Malcolm Smith
with the Seahawks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so he had a pick six and a fumble recovery and 10 solo tackles, which is that's a fucking crazy game to have.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
And the one before that was Ray Lewis the year they won there, and he... I don't know what his stats were, but before that, it was Larry Brown.
Wasn't
in Dallas.
Buccaneers?
I think that was
Super
97.
2002, there was a
2002, yeah.
MVP.
Yeah. Did Ray Lewis murder those people before?
Oh, yeah.
Or after
Dexter Jackson. Dexter Jackson. He had two picks as well. So two picks is kind of the standard.
I would say not even two picks, just two. If he like picks and recovers a fumble.
Pick sack, or pick six, that's at a big moment. I think Jalen Ramsey's the best value pick on here.
I'm going to light $20 on fire.
Yeah.
And just 100-1, Van Jefferson.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah, even though I have the Bengals to win. Yeah,
you never know.
Never know.
You never know. Van Jefferson, dude, could end up doing it. Yeah, with Ray Lewis. Was that the year he murdered the two people, or no? Was that before? I think he was just partying there.
No,
right?
He might have got popped for a deer antler spray that year.
Oh, was that what it was?
That might have been it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
That's a weird thing to do.
Cool. I'm looking at the odds for points here. This does favor the Rams. You know, as far as the over-under for points scored, it's 27 for the Rams, 21 for the Bengals. So, I mean, that tells you right there, like, hey, I think the Rams are going to score more than the Bengals.
Four here. Touchdowns
yeah.
out of the Rams.
That's what I think.
I don't see it. I mean, look, it's the 49ers have an excellent defense. There's no question about that. But it's not like the Rams have been lighting people up.
I think Stafford's hurt.
I think Stafford's hurt as well. Do you think Stafford's hurt, Ryan?
I honestly have no idea. I haven't. Honestly, after we lost, I haven't really watched any of the games or anything like that. But I don't know. He could be. He always kind of seems to be dinged up, but he's always playing through stuff. So yeah. I honestly have no clue if he's dinged or not.
Yeah, that was my next question. Like, after a loss like that, do you watch the tape or do you not watch the tape? Because I've seen that play 1,000 times where he throws it to Cooper Kupp. I mean, he just chucked it in the sky. I know I'm not going to ask you to shit on your defense on that. That's that call, that zero blitz. But it looks like he's going through some form of injury. I'm with you.
It looks like his neck's hurt again, to be honest.
Something.
Like there's something.
His neck or a shoulder.
There's something with the shoulder movement. Like it's not like he can still throw the ball far. So it makes me feel like he's uncomfortable turning his body.
He has a fucked up back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he broke his back 2 years ago, right? Mm. And played all of last season with a fucking broken back.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, kids at home, don't. Yeah.
Don't break your back.
Well, don't break your back, but also don't fucking play in the NFL if your back is currently broken.
And don't step on a crack and break your mother's back.
Yeah, either. Well, okay. Shout out to all those moms out there.
Yeah, and Ray Lewis's mom as well, okay?
Just in case. Do they have an over-under on how many times they're going to show Clayton Kershaw at the game?
Oh boy, will he be there?
It's his best friend.
They played high school football
together.
It's his
pal.
You want to guess what position Clayton Kershaw played in high school in football?
Quarterback.
No, Matt Stafford was playing quarterback.
Oh, okay. I don't know then. He throws
O-line.
You're kidding. Clayton Kershaw? Not.
Kershaw was an O-lineman.
Highland Park.
He weighs like 170 pounds.
Yeah.
Man, that's
He's kind of like a big goon though.
But like literally every Rams broadcast or any Matthew Stafford game, they have to slide in Clayton Kershaw.
Well, who's the broadcast team for the Super Bowl?
It's NBC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so is it NBC? It's Al Michaels.
Al Michaels. Oh, God.
Oh, boy. That's awful.
Double doink a fucking baseball bat out Collins.
We're not
going
to be here. We're
gonna, now, we're here's be... a guy.
Yeah. Do you care? Do you care about the announcers, Ryan? Like, do people hit you up afterwards and like, shit, I wish Romo was calling this
game? He dislikes casual violence. That's all. He doesn't dislike Collinsworth.
No, I don't really pay attention to the announcers all that much. Usually, honestly, when I'm watching a game, usually the sound's on mute, and I'm honestly usually playing video games while it's going on, so I'm not even really paying attention.
I do the same thing. Announcers, I didn't realize anybody else did that. I do that all the time. If I'm watching a game by myself, I have the game on like my iPad or something, and I'm playing video games on my big screen.
Yeah, I bust out the Atari too.
Nope.
I'll have it on mute, but it's usually I'll like the Hamilton soundtrack or something going.
Yeah. Dude, I've got a gun. I've got a gun and I've been drinking.
Yeah.
You can't say stuff like that.
We've been drinking 8% all day here, Rye Guy. You know what I love to bet on is the national anthem. So I have a rule in the national anthem. You don't have to answer this because you're still playing and we don't want to get you canceled here.
Who is it this year?
It is the country singer, Guyton.
Is it a guy or a girl?
It's a girl. But here's the thing.
That makes a difference.
I base it on ethnicity, okay?
Well, it's
white people.
Gender, too.
Yes.
Women go way longer than men.
It's gender. White people are nervous. They'll race to the anthem, usually want to bet the under on that.
Mm-hmm.
Black people have no problem with that. They'll take their time, and they're like, great, dude, I'm used to the stage. I've been singing in church. I don't give a shit. I'm going to take my time on this. However, she's a country singer. I think she might hit the under. Because country's pretty concise.
Country... Last country singer was what? Like, what's his name? The guy that's on all the Allstate commercials.
Dennis Haysbert.
Or maybe not Allstate, but the Peyton Manning commercials.
Peyton Manning?
Brad Paisley.
Oh, Brad Paisley.
Remember when Brad Paisley did it? He did it in like...
Super fast.
It was like 47 seconds.
Yeah. White people get nervous doing the fucking national anthem.
I think it's just guys.
I think it's guys.
I think it's male and female.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
I think it is more male and female.
But I see your point. Like that style of music lends itself more to longer, drawn out fucking music.
Yeah.
Right. we'll see what happens.
I think it also depends on just like with male singers too. If you want to get like really technical into it, back to Let's my musical it. Soundtracks here. There it is. The deeper the voice, the shorter they'll go. Right. So a higher voice, someone who can really like.
Well, luckily, go longer. Somebody will be standing outside of the stadium on Saturday while she's practicing and doing her sound check, filming and timing the whole thing.
Yeah.
So like every year it happens.
I'd say she's a country artist. I say she goes under on this one. But they've also got a prop bet here of whether or not there'll be an aircraft and a flyover.
Yeah.
All in on that. Isn't there always, Dan, your military, isn't there always a fucking aircraft flyover?
Yeah, so the NFL has a contract with the Department of Defense to do that. It's like $26,000 or something like that.
Okay.
Every time. I think it's something like that. But it's a contract to do the flyover and the anthem. The reason the anthem happens at all the games is because the DOD has a contract with the NFL.
Great.
So the NFL also, by the way, is a tax-exempt organization.
So this is a perfect segue, okay?
Yeah.
Another prop bet in Vegas, because these get real crazy, Ryan. I know you're not a gambler, but these get crazy. Blue Angels do not participate is minus 900, or the Blue Angels to participate. Who are the Blue Angels? Can you answer that question?
You don't know who the Blue Angels are?
No, I know who they are. Mm. But in the military, were they before they became the Blue Angels?
Well, they're just pilots of fixed wing aircraft, but it's like the Golden Knights, right? Not the hockey team, but the parachute team.
Okay,
they do displays, they do events and shit like that. It's minus 900. They don't do it. I would say they probably do. LA is all about spectacle.
Yes,
right.
Yes, but it's a dome.
Who cares? They've done it over domes before.
Ryan, when an aircraft is flown over from when you've played. Do you ever put your finger in the air and kind of try to rub the belly like Free Willy?
Yeah, definitely. It's honestly, when we have flyovers, it's the sweetest thing ever. I know last year they for the Super Bowl they did the stealth bombers.
Oh,
that
was
freaking sweet.
Yeah, those
just like seeing that was awesome. A lot of times, for whatever reason, for our games they fly out of Georgia. They fly the Warthogs.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot for us. They tend, so it's pretty cool seeing those aircraft. It's kind of nerve wracking sometimes because they get pretty damn close to that jumbotron sometimes.
Don't worry about it.
You're like 60 feet away. You know.
Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that little guy. I could call somebody and see if the Blueians are going to be doing this.
Could you really?
Yeah.
Great. Let's put some money on that. Yeah, well, that'd be fantastic.
I'll definitely cheat our sponsor. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Like,
they always limit that shit, though.
Oh, yeah. It's usually like $35 or something like that.
That's fine, but our contract is up in like 60 days.
So. The other one is the halftime show, which is going to – this might be the best halftime show in a while.
Yeah. Right? Who was your halftime show, Ryan, when you guys were in it last year? I forget.
I have no idea.
Yeah, who was the halftime show last year?
Shit. Were we there?
No, the year before – Well, we were there.
Blinded by the Light guy.
Oh, the weekend.
Oh, yeah,
it was the weekend. Yeah. Shit, it was the weekend.
Yeah, he did. He wild spent shit. $7 million of his own money to do all the props and shit.
What a fucking
lunatic! And he also ejected a bunch of weird shit into his face.
It wasn't good. You're lucky you were playing in that game. You don't have to watch it like the rest of us. I got up. I was like, oh boy, we're good to go here. Gaga was good. I was there in person for Gaga.
But the year before that, or the year after that was, Adam Levine, right?
Yes. And that was terrible.
In Atlanta. It was awful.
That was terrible.
It was awful. Like there's nothing football about Maroon 5. Come on, man.
Yeah. But this is Snoop. This is Dre. This is Eminem. This is Kendrick Lamar. And this is Mary J. Blige. How do you go wrong with this one in LA? I think this one will be a banger.
We could probably do without Eminem.
Wow. That's crazy.
This is Detroit trying to steal a little extra valor.
I mean, if it was Eminem 15 years ago, then I would be cool with this, but
I'm good on Eminem now.
I think he's doing though the hits. Like you do the
If
hits.
He does the hits, then all then let's do it. But if he does Forgot About Dre, if he and Dre do that song, that entire building might
They're
melt.
They're so old now.
Who cares? I want to see it. I want to see it one more time.
They always have old people.
Well, the first prop bet is who starts to speak, sing, or rap first.
Oh shit!
Out of those five people,
100%.
All right. So out of the people we just named, Ryan, who's the most famous rapper, and who would come out first? I guess, Snoop? Or do you go less famous?
It's probably Snoop.
Snoop.
I don't know. I think that you got to start with Snoop and
big personality. Like Eminem's kind of quiet. Dre's kind of quiet. right? Until they actually get started doing their music.
Yeah.
Snoop is literally local.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Local.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an LA guy.
Well, so Dre's an LA guy.
Dre's an LA guy. So is Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. I think Snoop is the biggest of the three, though.
I did a thing with Mary J. Blige. She was in LA. She might be local.
I don't know where she's from, actually.
I don't either.
But it might be. I could also see her coming out singing something first and then other people come in.
She's fucking incredible, by the way.
Yeah, she's really good. I've seen her live a couple times.
Is Slash going to pop out or maybe Flea?
There'll be some people that aren't on the thing. Yeah.
It'll be like a Flea. It'll be Flea, LA shit. Yeah. It'll be Chili Peppers.
Mary J. Blige is from
the
Bronx.
Or maybe Metallica or something. Okay. We'll come out and play there from Los Angeles as well. Like, it's a huge band.
Yeah.
Like, if you're talking, like, Metallica's one of the biggest bands of all time.
If you're going to have somebody do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be something other than just hip hop and R&B that happens at all. They never do just one genre anymore.
No. And Mickey Guyton, again, is country. Yeah. So she's doing the national anthem. So, yeah, I assume there'll be some form of toss up. You've never had to deal with this shit because you're playing. But for us, like, dude, we live and die by this. Do you throw a huge party now that you're not in it?
We'll probably have just like family over, some friends, you know, watch the game, drink some beer.
What have you been doing since the season ended for you guys? You guys like hunting and shit, or what are you doing?
Haven't been yet. There's nothing really, no hunting season right now.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess, you know, there's some mountain lion hunting in Colorado I could go do, but,
that sounds like, honestly, the best. Like,
yeah, got packed up and got back to Colorado. I was in Vegas for 5 days. That was way too long for the Pro Bowl, and then we just got back to Colorado a couple days ago. So we're excited. We actually just bought a ranch last year, in just south of where we're at here in Colorado now, 600 acres. So excited to start going and working on that. But it'll be sweet. Yeah, since, you know, once for me, like, once ball's over with for the year, I kind of decompress for about a month, and, you know, I'll watch the game, I'll do this and that, but for me, the most part, I just kind of get away from it. Mm.
What about the draft? Do you get into the draft? Because we always throw a huge draft party here. Will the draft influence where you go at all, like when you're watching it? Or do you watch it?
Well, the free agency is before the draft, so that wouldn't really be a deciding factor. But no, I mean, early in my career, I used to really, you know, when I was with the Ravens before I became like a full-time starter, I would always watch the draft and see who we were drafting, because obviously I felt like they were trying to replace me. So I paid more attention to it then. But now, you know, being, you know, a veteran and kind of an established guy, you know, I'll kind of just casually watch it and see, you know, who we pick, you know, in the first couple of rounds, and then go from there. But now I don't get too worked up about the draft anymore.
You should. I want you to get worked up about it. I want to see you as angry about the draft as you are on the field. Like, I want to see a helmet out, you bashing in TVs and everything else. You can pop into our live show and anything. That'd be a blast. Just watching you terrorize shit in your own house. Do your family members bother you about, like, game info while you're watching the game and, like, the Super Bowl? Like, Ryan, what's this guy going to do here and all that other shit? Because I feel like I would if you were my uncle.
A little bit. Not too bad. They like, just, I've been doing it for so long now that, you know, a lot of times they know that it's already hard enough for me to watch games and not, you know, try to analyze and feel like I'm at work. So a lot of times they don't ask me a bunch of questions, but some random, you know, game type questions every once in a while. But no, yeah, they, it does get kind of annoying at times if people are asking me for every play, like, oh, why they do like this there. It's kind of frustrating at times, but for the most part, the people that, you know, I keep around me for the most part, they don't bug me too much about it.
That's cool. Do you think about the Hall of Fame at all?
No, not really. You know, for me, I don't know if I'm that caliber of a player or anything like that, but, you know, we'll see, but, hell, I just like hitting people.
Cause we had another famous center on the show. Nick Mangold was on the show.
Yep.
Great guy, great barbecue sauce, by the way. I don't know if you've had his barbecue sauce. It's excellent. Yeah. He was on the show, and it fucking sold out here. So Nick owes us, I feel like, forever.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, forever.
I'm going to start showing up at his house.
Yeah, he had to start delivering it by van after the show, and that's no lie. So Nick definitely owes us for that, for the barbecue sauce. But I told him, I was like, dude, I think you're an easy Hall of Famer. And he was like, look, people don't really pay attention to who the center is that much. It's just not that sexy of a position. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would. you know, I think Nick is a Hall of Fame type player. The hard part about it is, you know, offensive lineman, unless you're a left tackle, you're never going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer usually. You know, there's some exceptions in there. Again, like Marshall Yanda, who was a longtime right guard for Baltimore, perennial All-Pro, perennial Pro Bowler, in my opinion, should be a first ballot type guy. We'll see. He probably won't be just because he played guard. If he played tackle his entire career, it'd, you know, be more of a locked in for, first ballot. But yeah, I mean, offensive linemen, they're always, you know, we're kind of there. You know, we're the fat guys that do all the work that nobody appreciates. So it's always a little bit harder for guys to get in the Hall of Fame. But I would think Nick he's got the resume as a Hall of Famer. So I think he'll get in there eventually.
Yeah, I agree. My mom's friend in high school got in recently. Doug Smith. He was a center for the Rams, actually, ironically, for many, many years. I believe he's in. I think it the importance of it, you notice, especially watching with a guy like you play, with like Brady and them. And I honestly, it's because of the long red hair. I don't know if you've heard that or not before, but like, watching you go down the field, you don't pay attention to centers, but you're the only guy with like fucking huge, like red locks running down the field, trucking people. You're pretty easy to spot. Whereas I don't know, besides you or Nick, that I know any other centers in the game, to be honest with you, by name.
Jason Kelsey.
Mitch Moore. Yeah. Mitch Morse.
No.
Buffalo.
That dude from the Packers, it's always hurt.
Yeah, that guy.
Every single. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you guys boys though? Like after the game, because like quarterbacks go up to other quarterbacks. Do you go to other centers after the game?
Like a jersey exchange?
Yeah.
I'm not a big jersey exchange guy. You know, there's been times where guys ask me, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll send it to you, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. After every game, you go across and you usually find your position group and go say what's up. So. Almost after every game, yeah, you go up to the opposing offensive line and just say what's up and talk to each other. But yeah, no, it's pretty common, I'd say.
You should start asking for weird shit.
Yeah,
like, hey, do you want to exchange socks?
Give me your mouth guard.
Yeah. Give me your toenails.
To be fair, game used socks by Carson Wentz are currently available for purchase on the Philadelphia Eagles Fanatics site.
Really? Oh, how much are they?
Like $200.
Well, there's not many of them,
right?
Because
he didn't play that many games. Nah,
he had a feel. There's a little grass stain on there. It felt fake, like they made a guy go out after and like rub it on the ground.
Oh, like Kurt Schillingsock. Yeah.
Yeah. Game use. Gross.
No, I was just saying that to be weird. I didn't know that was a real thing, and now I'm upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now so, we want it.
I think we should get them, and whoever loses our next bet just wears them as gloves in the office for a month.
Ooh. Only if they're the socks he wore when he tore his ACL against the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want like a bad bloody sock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's from Delco. He likes dark shit. Mm-hmm. Of course. Ryan, now's the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who's inspired you or helps you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'd say probably my brother, older brother. He's been my biggest supporter when it comes to me playing ball. Kind of my story going to a Division II school. His story was a little different. You know, he was a 5-star recruit coming out of high school. Ended up going to Nebraska, but just had a bunch of injuries and never really got a career started. And then, I went to Division II school and, started balling. And ever since then, he's been my biggest fan and biggest supporter. So I'd say probably my brother. He's a kick ass. He's a cop. He works hard for his family and he's always supported me and everything I've done. So I'd say my brother.
That's awesome. Where is he a cop at?
In Pueblo, actually, in Southern Colorado.
Oh, no shit. Cool. That's dope, man. Congratulations. And honestly, congratulations on all your success. I got the pleasure to hang out with you, like we said, a few years ago. You've just always been a fucking awesome guy, and you're one of those people who deserves everything that comes your way, and that's amazing to see because it's rare. Usually the guys who are super successful are just fucking assholes. And you're just like, come on, man. You know, like Antonio Brown, like how do you even describe that fucking dude?
I don't know. It's awesome. I mean, it's crazy, what he did and what he's doing now, but I don't even know. It was the whole situation. Everybody asked me like after the game, what happened? And I was like, I honestly, I don't know. We were having our own you know, battle on the field at the time. It was crazy. That same drive that he did his thing, we had just got a 15-yard penalty, and it was like 3rd and 19, and Tom came in the huddle and was just, I mean, absolutely going at us as a team. We're down by 14 to the Jets, you know, with however much time left in the third quarter. And he just absolutely went at us, especially after Allier, who's our left guard, got a 15-yarder, made it 3rd and 19. Mm-hmm. And he came in and started yelling at us and everything. And Allier's like, hey, just relax. We're going to get the first down. We end up going and getting the first down. And Tom comes back in the huddle and just continues right where he left off. And it was just crazy. So when everybody ever asked me about the AB thing, I was like, I had no idea what was fucking going on. All I know is I was getting my ass chewed. Everybody's getting their ass chewed by Tom. And then we go down and score a touchdown, come back again, score a touchdown again. And then, you know, we walk it off at the end of the game. So, it was that whole situation is just, it was crazy.
Yeah. And the reason I call him an asshole is like, it's what he said about himself on another podcast. He was just like, looking back on it, I probably shouldn't have done all that shit. to me,
that's really self-aware, AB.
Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
The damage has been done. I don't think he's going to another team. Would you want to play with him again?
I mean, as a player, what he does is amazing. Like he's a great football player. It's just the other stuff that you know he does is just you can't have both. And you know what he did is do I think he's going to be on another team? I could see it happening again in the right situation, the right team. But I honestly, I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think he's coming back. There's no way. There's no way.
No, he's going to be fighting in Triller soon.
Yeah, he'll be fighting Chad Ochocinco in Triller, that'll be that.
He'll probably be murdering Aaron Carter. Like, he'll just be pulling Aaron Carter's teeth out of his glove, and then...
Yeah, maybe. You might. You never know. You never know. I know you won't be doing any of that bullshit, because you'll be on a ranch, and you'll be killing mountain lions with a handgun, just going right up behind him in the back of the head, because that's who you are, Ryan.
If you can sneak up on a fucking mountain lion, then you've done well in life.
I think he could. I think he could. I'm not gonna.
I don't think any human being can, and definitely not a man of that size.
I mean, he's pretty nimble on his feet.
He's pretty nimble, dude.
Certainly nimble, but still a large.
I mean, it wouldn't be that difficult. The other day, we on our game camera, right outside of probably 30 yards from the house, mountain lion just walked right past on the driveway. So it might not be as hard as you would think.
Yeah, but to sneak up on one and shoot him in the back of the head.
Yeah, you could plug one.
Just put some weed out there. Get him high.
Yeah, my money's on Rye Guy.
And then just there's plenty of
weed growing in Colorado. Just throw some tons out there.
I say lead him into a room, Joe Pesci style. He opens the door.
Make him think he's getting made. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
And then devastate him. Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you for joining us, dude. You're welcome back anytime, especially after you retire, so you can get into the real dark stories. I know they're out there.
Yeah. There's always stories.
For sure. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Ryan Jensen, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Super Bowl preview show. Good luck, everyone, and enjoy Super Bowl Sunday. If you're in Austin, Texas, join us at Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Ice House downtown for the live seltzer release party for Hard AF Seltzer. Good night, everyone.